Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
So I had Chris come up. There's a few of us here from my family. Oh, I know you're happy to see Chris Lawrence in the house. On Saturdays, they call him Chris Lawrence. Here at home, we just call him good old Chris. My dad passed away Wednesday, and I thought everybody knew, but pretty much everybody in the world seemed to know about a minute after it happened, thanks to the miracle of the internet. But it's interesting to me because, you can have a seat, sure. had the rare opportunity, you know, precious opportunity, I should say, to be in the room with my dad as he passed from this life into another life. And I've made the comment before, I think even here in church, or talked about the idea that there's a big deal about breathing. Other religions figured that out too. It seems like the, who are those guys that do all the Buddhists? Yeah, I like those guys, they're all right. They know how to breathe really good, in through the nose, out through the mouth, is that right? It seems really trivial, but to me, every once in a while when I'm in stress, that's a really good practice, you know? Can we just all do that right now? I'm not trying to convince you of Buddhism. I just want you to, convincing you of breathing. Breathe in one time. Breathe in. Do it. It won't hurt you, I swear. I promise. And breathe out. I remember my dad, he was here on this place, standing in that pulpit. And I remember hearing him say, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Pastor just mentioned it, you know. Lord, fill everybody in this place with your Spirit. And we used to think that was something you had to really work at. We would have altar calls. They would go on for weeks sometimes. People would spend years and years coming to the altar saying, oh God, oh Heavenly Father, please, please, please. Oh God, please fill me with your Spirit. Why won't you fill me with your Spirit? Why don't you want me to have your Spirit? Have you ever seen that, seeking for the Holy Ghost? Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry, there's things that you should seek for, and there are things that you should ask for, and there are things that you just should knock. And the Holy Spirit is one of the things that all you have to do is receive. That's Bible. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you have to seek. My dad was standing right here and he said, why do we seek for the Holy Spirit when the Spirit is all around? It's the very air that we breathe. You can't take, I heard my dad say this. He said, you cannot take a breath. Were you here? Did you hear that? He said, you can't take a breath without the Spirit of the Almighty God coming in and filling you. And and I watched my dad as he passed. We were all, is this true, baby? We got in there about 3 o'clock. Others had been there for days and hours and months before we got there, but we were there for the last couple hours and the last few breaths. And everybody was just glued to his mouth and chest. Is that true? You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the room, you were in there a little bit, Melissa. We're just looking at him as he went, and he would stop, and then he'd go again. and I can't help but think about these two things in as one thing this morning. That idea that God fills us with his breath. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Remember hearing that ever before? And he became a living soul. The word says, oh God, if you were to withdraw your Spirit from me, there would be no breath in me. And we see that death and as a tragedy. You know, the last breath finally went out the other night. And in that moment, we all knew, that's it. The terminology is really familiar. He's gone, right? He passed away. And I know in my heart that as Dad exhaled that last breath, it always ends with an exhale. Did you notice that? Life always, nobody ever breathes in and that's their last breath. It's always out. They let the oxygen from this planet go out. Boy, I'm just taking my time this morning. I'm sorry, but you know what the next thing is after you breathe out? What is it? Try it one time. Everybody breathe out. No, everybody, breathe out. Do it. Oh, get it out. Keep breathing out. Out. What's the next thing that happens? You breathe in, don't you? And I know this. I know this. I believe this with all my heart. When we pass and that last breath of oxygen from Earth goes out of us, the next thing that happens to us is we breathe in. We breathe in something different. Babies, when they're born, they breathe out fluid as they're born. Is this true? Do you know about this? They breathe out the fluid. They go, bubbles out. Next breath is something brand new. And think about the transition from the womb, which is like this big, you know, safe, cozy, warm, swimming around in there, sucking your thumb. Suddenly they are born and they take that first breath of air and they come into this world that's full of light, sound, and color. And what's that got to be like? I mean, we all did it, but I don't particularly remember that moment. But it must have been pretty amazing. It's so overwhelming. All we can do is go, ah! You know what I'm saying? And I'm just wondering what that moment is when we pass from this life and the last little bit of this earth's breath goes out of us and we breathe in and suddenly the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I have no idea what that place is like, but I believe that it is infinitely bigger, brighter, more colorful, more real, more alive than this little confined universe that we live in. And I don't know, I just feel like honoring my dad and his life, and the words that he said in this place are still alive. They're still resonating in my ear. I can hear him say, you can't even take in a breath without taking in God. I want to breathe him in. That's my heart this morning. How about you? Would you like to receive the Spirit of the living God inside of you? His Spirit is life. His Spirit is breath.
In closing today, I'd like to read a verse of Scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we will be dismissed with the reading of the Word today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort. Say comfort. He comforts us. Everybody say, He comforts us. Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Everybody say overflows, which means what you have received, there is more than enough, and it overflows. Somebody say it overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Would you go back for just a moment and look? The scripture says, the Father of compassion, verse 3, and the God of all comfort. Would you just put verse 3 for a moment? Everybody say, the God of all comfort. I will finish this wonderful service today by introducing you to a new thought about God and a new way for you to consider your ministry and how you would treat people. And that is this: when people are in trouble, Jesus comforts them. When people have sinned, when you have failed desperately and think that because of the ideas that have been perpetuated by Western theology and churches that God is angry or frustrated with you, or somehow he's going to put you on a timeout. How many of you think God puts people on timeouts? Let me tell you what God's going to do. Kim, can I come sit by you just a moment? And Kimberly, you're just going to represent for a moment everybody. This is just an everybody. I'm not pointing at her and making her bad. But if she were, I'm going to tell you, this is what Jesus does when we're in trouble. He comforts us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't slap us. He doesn't preach to us. Hear me. Every one of you know this is the truth. He comforts you. Amen. He puts his arm around you. He sits down beside you. He doesn't get loud. He doesn't expose you. He comforts you and says, I'm going to stay. No matter how mean and mad and upset you get at yourself, I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to comfort you. I introduce you to a whole new thought about your God. He is the God of comfort. And you think, well, that won't work. Well, your meanness and your judgmental attitude didn't work. Why don't we try this for a Sunday or two and see if it will heal my spirit and make me want to do better, because he comforted me. My grandchildren are here today. Lila was here just a little while ago. Know where she went? Probably with her mother. Is Lila 7 or 8? Lila is 7 years old. I'm just going to tell you this and we're finished. Lila's 7. A couple of the grand boys injured themselves playing in the yard, scraped their legs up and scraped their elbows up, and got some attention. Lila wanted attention. So she came and showed me a red spot on her knee. It wasn't scraped. It was probably made worse by her rubbing it. But she wanted a Band-Aid, because Band-Aids were the thing. And Yay Yay is a Band-Aid lady. We've got boxes of Band-Aids, Smurf Band-Aids, Pony Band-Aids, Hello Kitty Band-Aids. And I put a Band-Aid on her knee, and she revived. And so I put one on her elbow, unaffected elbow. And she exulted. And so I put one on her other elbow, and it was like filling her with the Spirit. She was full of joy to go out with some Band-Aids. This happened a week ago Thursday. Preston, my grandson, plays football. He's about as big and strong as a toothpick. Skinny little guy. He came through the door. This actually happened. He came through the garage door, Lori. He went. Ugh. I said, what's the matter? He said, oh, I don't think I broke it, but I sprained my knee. I said, oh my goodness, man. Yeah. I said, well, come here a minute, Preston. So he got to the couch. I said, oh, man, let me see. Let me pray for you, Jesus. We sat there 90 seconds. And he went off like a lamb in the spring. It was dramatic. Final story about comfort. What can comfort do to you if somebody just cares about you a little bit? Final story. There was a terrible thunderstorm, lightning, and the lightning struck the, what do they call the big thing on the telephone pole? The big transformer thing? Hit it and blew it out, and all the lights in our neighborhood went out. The street lights, the backup lights, all the lights in the house, all the clocks went off. And it's amazing when all of that happens, you'd think people would sleep, but that silence just is freaky. Go, whoom, this thunder and lightning, and all the lights go out. And Brittany, my daughter, she was like 10 years old. About 4 or 5 seconds after that, she screamed, Dad! Dad! What, Bebo? Am I dead? No, honey, you're not dead. I can't feel my feet. Honey, you're in the hallway. I can't feel my feet. Am I dead? No, you're not dead. I'm coming. You're in the hallway, honey. It's dark. There's a storm. Oh, Dad. I said, I'm coming. Just stand still. I'm coming. So I got to her in the dark, and I brought her carefully to our bed, and she was just freaking out. Am I dead? I got her in bed, searched around, found my little flashlight in a drawer. She lay down, calmed down. I clicked my flashlight off, and I hear shuffling, and here comes Tiffany. And she climbed over me and over Brittany to get between Brittany and her mother. I turned the light on to get them settled. I clicked my light out and heard some shuffling, and here came Ashley. So Brittany and Tiffany and Ashley are in bed. Then in a few seconds, here comes Michael. And he got in bed, so there's Terry and the four kids and me. I said, let's just pretend like it's the olden days when they didn't have lights. Let's just pretend it's the olden days. And we'll all stay in the bed and we're all warm. Everybody calm down. And I'm laying on my side with about that much bed. And the kids all went to sleep. Comfort. An honest, serious, real feeling like it's all right. He is the God of comfort. And today his presence was here, and you should open your spirit, open your mind to the idea that he is not judging, he's not frustrated, he's not angry, he's not loud. He's going to comfort you. And he's going to comfort people in their worst moments. He's going to comfort them. Not stir them up, not kick them out, not rail on them, not make it worse by making them feel bad. He's going to put his arms around you and he's going to comfort you. That's the God today that we serve. Lord, we receive this beautiful truth about you, and we saw today how your Spirit can bring comfort, amazing peace to Nate, to Chris, to the family. We see it. It's real. That in the middle of the darkest hour, you bring comfort. The God of all comfort. And we thank you today. Amen. Would you stand, please? It's good to see you, Dan. Would you just lift your hands? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you with a revelation of his comfort and give you peace. May the Lord go with you. May his face shine upon you, and may he bless you going in and going out and keep you in the name of Jesus. The Lord be with you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.